My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Better Call Saul, El Camino, and Breaking Bad. Went in reverse.
Yeah. this week we're talking about bingo, the game, strategies, tips to win, prize selection optimization. All of these and more can be yours.
Balatro for bingo. There you go. There's a game that some people would get if you want to design it.
Yes, might be some people who get it. Put it on mobile and get the olds really hooked.
Yeah. Have you ever been to bingo?
I've never been to institutional bingo. However, my family has a tradition of bingo going back to before I was born, like when my mom was a little kid, because my grandparents were youth pastors, youth ministry people for a long time. They just kind of always had bingo sets around. So as long as I can remember, like New Year's Eve specifically, but other holidays when we would have a bunch of church people over, there would just be bingo.
Yeah. I have some friends who are church people and who have done bingo. I've gone and done bingo with them before. It's institutional, I guess. It's probably not that different though, because I don't, tournament bingo doesn't get that different. It's weird. It's real boring.
Oh god,
but also stressful. Like, because when you do it, you do more than one board.
It's like Papers, Please a little bit.
It's very Papers, Please. Like, you don't one board, you're fine, but it goes pretty quick, and you're supposed to do like 10.
Yeah, 10 is a lot. I can do 4 comfortably. This makes me sound like I have the brain of an insect.
It's just quickly scanning information for boring things randomly.
Yep.
It's a bad game.
Oh, it's a terrible game.
Yeah,
that's why me talking about winning strategies is such a joke.
It's just a real, it's weird. It's sad to me that old folk are so trapped by bingo.
Yeah.
There's just bingo at old folks' homes. I just want to introduce those guys to Call of Duty.
Hey, Brock, nice to see you show up.
Yeah, nice. Hey.
Scuba. Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Call of Duty. I want to get them to relive, here, Medal of Honor. You have a Medal of Honor. Now play the game.
World War II vet is dead. They're all 100.
Yeah. Oh, well, some of them are probably still kicking. Anywho, this episode was written by Jennifer Hutchinson, directed by Larissa Kondracki.
Larissa?
Yeah. Larissa. And originally aired March 16th, 2015.
Yeah. And we get the resolution of 2 plot lines so that Jimmy and Chuck stuff can come to the fore.
Yeah. Weird season. Mm-hmm. Again, we're going to have Mike and the Philly policeman. Last episode was largely about that. That's going to get wrapped up. We don't know the end result of it. We're going to let go of it though. That storyline lets go of us quite literally. Pass offs in this. And then the Kettleman situation comes out in a way where Jimmy has to choose between helping Kim, and doing the right thing, or possibly getting a bunch of money.
Yeah.
It's kind of a false choice because he wouldn't win that case.
No, and it would definitely come back on him.
Yes, very much so. You do not want to get in bed with the Kettlemans.
No.
But it is just kind of a, Jimmy 2 steps forward, 2 steps back, in this first season kind of thing.
Yeah. There's no real production detail for this. There's only one kind of standout scene. This is just a deck clearing and deck setting.
Yep. It's pretty slight, I would say. We start off, the camera pans down this wall of wanted posters in the police station and then rests on Jimmy. This is a literary device. He tells Mike that when the cops show up, he's going to do all the talking.
Yes. And the Philly detectives barge up and demand that they hand over the notebook. The young one is especially pissed. It's the middle of the night. They called both of them here. And he calls Jimmy an ambulance chasing piece of shit because it was a 2-man job. It was the spill and then the grab.
Yep.
He knows it.
And Jimmy presents the story. I got a call from Mike saying he's being accused of petty theft. But what do you know it? I found the notebook on my way in the parking lot.
Yeah.
That you must have dropped. And the younger cop says, we're bringing you in. here when we get you back to Philly. And, you know, I'm confused. The state of Pennsylvania can extradite people for returning lost property. That is a bold legislature here. Just giving him shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And the younger detective kind of lays out things as he sees them, you know, like, hey, Mike, Stacy's going to talk. She wouldn't have called if she, you know, didn't have anything. Right. That is, as long as whatever you have didn't rub up on the rest of the family.
Yeah. And Mike just says, you know, maybe she will, maybe she won't.
Yeah.
You know, he leaves and Mike sends Jimmy away. Jimmy doesn't want to do this, but he's going to talk to the older detective. Right. And they have history. They're friends. You know, the older detective apologizes for the kid. And Mike's like, no, I like him. You know, he's doing cop work.
Mm-hmm. And he is going after somebody who was in the force. He seems to be somebody upright. He's not letting this go. He would be like a Maddie. He just happens to be, you know, we just like Mike. So his doggedness does seem a little bit, you know, like him being a dick, right?
Yeah. Well, he's the protagonist. Mike's the protagonist. And we know that what Mike did was just.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the guy, the older detective asks, like, so, you know, what are we going to hear? You know, what's Stacy going to tell you? And Mike says, honestly, you know, I honestly don't know. Don't honestly know. You know, but they say if she doesn't say anything, everything ends here, you know, and kind of puts out the opportunity for a fix. So maybe you should talk to her before we leave.
Yeah.
And Mike is just Mike real. Refuses. Yeah. Just like, no, we've already talked. She's going to do what she's going to do.
It's in her hands.
Yeah.
You know, the detective says, you know, there are people who think that Fenske and Hoffman got what's coming to them. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a few more early retirements. We get a few more pieces of new blood like that kid, and things might actually change in the precinct.
Yeah.
You know, and he agrees with them. You know, he's all right. He's got to learn somehow. You know, there's some rocks you don't turn over.
Which is exactly how you get the precinct being as bad in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, and both of them sitting underneath the big wall of, you know, wanted posters. It is very well shot, but also, you know, quite clear. Yeah. And where's the line?
Out in the parking lot, you know, Jimmy asked Mike what they talked about, and Mike won't tell him.
Yeah.
You know, and Jimmy is still being a lawyer. You know, how can you not recognize these mind games and scams and con jobs these guys play? You're one of them. Like, they're playing you. He thinks that Mike is still, he knows Mike's an operator, but he doesn't know exactly how much better Mike is at all of this.
Right.
You know, and he says, you don't have to worry for me. He goes, I'm not worried for you. I'm worried for myself. Mm-hmm. And Mike dismisses him. Again, the plot gets handed over.
Yeah.
Here, your safe counselor, it's someone else's hands.
Mm-hmm. You know? What, like God? Please don't say him when him would kill.
He's like, nope, you know, bill me. And he leaves.
Yeah.
You know, this plot has been handed over.
Mm-hmm. So still in morning time, Jimmy goes and picks up his ice and takes it over to Chuck's, finding him standing out back doing 120 seconds of exposure therapy.
Yes.
And they come in and Jimmy is really lightly skeptical, but, you know, is not trying to show it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, you know, he's like building up small doses of poison to build up an immunity, something we all learned from The Princess Bride.
Yep.
And Jimmy says, you know, is that a real thing? I'm pretty sure that's not a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he's doing this. There's a 60 kV transformer 200 meters south by southwest of in his backyard, as you well know. Yeah.
60 kilovolt transformer. How could you not know that?
Yeah, idiot.
That is a level of infrastructural awareness that even I don't have.
Yeah, there's if it zapped you.
Right.
You know. And Chuck says, you know, I have to get better. You know, I need to be useful again. The thing with the police, with the hospital, this was too much. And Jimmy does like an unimaginable act of kindness.
Yeah.
Here, you know, without skipping a beat, he says, hey, I've got some more stuff in my car. And he goes and grabs case files. He's like, listen, you know, I'm just going to store these here for a little bit. I'm really underwater.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have room in my office. I'm just going to leave these here. Mm-hmm. He's giving Chuck something to do.
And also giving Chuck things to do for him.
Yes.
Chuck does rightly call this out as a Tom Sawyer play, right? But also,
kinda, it is, but I think it's also, I think this is meant kindly.
Like, I
Chuck
be
does
both.
Call this out.
I'm not saying it can't be both.
Yeah. I think this is giving somebody who wants a purpose something to do, you know, is how I read this in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and Jimmy watches through the window, you know, to see Chuck unable to help himself when he sees a banker's box.
Yeah. He's got to see what's inside that box. We cut over to Jimmy taking Kim to look at an office and giving her a tour. You know, Kim wonders if he can afford it. And he says, you know, the seniors are doing really well for him. That's a lie. This is thing that's how he might pay rent. But this is from the Kettleman retainer.
Yeah.
He'll get the money up front. Yeah. And it's huge. They get to the office suite. It's really huge. You know, they get to the conference room. They make it cozy for the old folks. You know, it's not as big as HHM.
Says you could knit a runner.
Yeah. You know, they're kind of, you know, bantering.
Yeah.
Here. And then Jimmy shows what would be his office. You know, she says you can get a big desk. He wants to get a Coco Bolo desk. Doesn't know what it is, but he wants, likes the sound of it. But then he shows her the corner office.
Yeah. Coco Bolo is a type of wood from Central America. I am looking at an Amish made Coco Bolo desk right now. The full price for it is $7,797.
Expensive for a desk.
Yes. Doesn't look that special as a desk. Yeah.
The conspicuous consumption. Never made sense to me.
Nope.
When they get to the corner office, Kim's like, oh, of course you should have the corner office. You obviously take the corner office. And he says, you know, I'm saving it for somebody, my partner. You know, and he tips his hand here. You know, and who would that be? And, you know, you said you're interested in elder law. This is a play to kind of tempt Kim.
Yeah.
Like all he wants to do is work with Kim in his first couple seasons.
Yeah. And she rebuts with some realistic points, right?
Yeah.
Saying like, well, you know, I've got a lot invested at HHM. I could be partner soon. And also they paid for my law school. I am paying them back slowly. I was unaware that this is a thing that law firms do, but they do. It's weird.
Yeah. It's professional development.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, you know, I owe them literally.
Yes.
Like, so she dismisses this. This is to me, this scene and the scene before it with Mike feels uncommonly short-sighted for Jimmy to me a little bit. I feel like Jimmy, who usually considers the angles, like he's got blind spots when it comes to Chuck. He's got a little bit of one when it comes to Kim.
Yeah.
But I feel like he could have figured out that Mike, you know, there's something there between Mike and that older detective just from knowing people. And he could have predicted this. Kim, you know, a corner office is not like a bribe that's going to get somebody to toss their whole career in the lottery.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of weird. It doesn't feel very smart for Jimmy.
Yeah. And also, you know, it doesn't feel very smart. And also like he has to know that he's not a safe bet professionally.
Yeah, exactly. Like this, you know, he's risky.
He wants to be, but
he wants to be, he wants to get there. He can't put in the work. He doesn't want to put in the work. Is this thing. He wants it more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, but she just says, hey, I want to check out that kitchen. You know, and goes and makes noises at the kitchen.
Yeah, it's a nice thought.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
So Kim breaks the bad news to Betsy and Greg Kettleman. Like, you know, you're not going to win at court.
No.
Here. And they say, you know, no, we went to HHM because you won cases. You know?
Basically thinking that anybody can promise a win, right?
Yeah.
Incredibly naive.
Betsy Kettleman is a great villain.
Oh, I love her so much.
Yeah, she's fucking awful.
she is so bad. And it's like the perfect example of somebody who is in the game, but is so not suited for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just we've all met somebody like Betsy Kettleman.
And just her pairing with Craig. It's not just these two actors, you know, working really well, but just like the Gorm gap in that relationship.
Yeah. Both of these actors are great.
Yes.
Betsy gets all the highlight stuff, but Craig is also very funny.
Oh, yeah. Betsy's not possible without Craig.
Yeah. It's a great combo. You should fight the two of them at the end of a final fight level. Betsy throws Craig at you.
Just throwing the money. This doesn't exist.
Yeah. You know, Kim says, but listen, I think I've got a deal for you that's very good. And she's like, oh, deal. I don't want a deal.
Yeah.
That's what OJ got. A deal's bad.
Yeah. You know, Kim expects the prosecution is going to go forward because public corruption cases in this world do. There's political outcry. But Kim has basically worked a miracle, scraped together from nothing, she says later, a deal that can take him from 30 years down to 16 months in county. So 30 years in federal to 16 months in county. Ridiculous.
Yeah. But he probably wouldn't even serve the whole thing.
No, no. It's white collar, right?
Yeah.
But he'd have to admit guilt and he would have to return the money. And that is two things that will not be accepted.
Yeah. Betsy, you know, give back the money. And she, no, there is no money. We told you Craig is innocent. You know, and Kim, watching everyone deal with Betsy insist on this is great. Mm-hmm. You know, and Betsy's like, oh, there are drug dealers out there, murderers walking the streets, but they're going to go after Craig.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's ridiculous. Rapists.
Yeah. Like they're just you know, why aren't they finding them? Why doesn't somebody do something about all the problems, all the criminals they don't have?
People like me should be able to commit crimes as a treat.
Yeah. I'm color-coded for justice. And Kim says, you should take the deal. You know, this sucks. It's a tough pill to swallow, but you can just start over in 2 years.
Yeah. It's a difficult, you know? But still straightforward choice, I think is what she says.
Yeah. 30 years or this. And Kim says, listen, I'll give you some time to discuss it. And Betsy says, Craig is about to consider it.
Yep.
Yeah, Betsy says, no, we don't need time to discuss this. You're fired.
Yeah.
And leaves. And Howard rushes after them trying to do damage control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Howard is furious.
Yeah. And, you know, turns around and glares at Kim. And this is, this is a habit of his that is going to come back on him in a terrible way.
Yeah.
His mistreatment of Kim is a fatal flaw.
It's also pretty silly.
Yes.
That he does it. Like early on in the show, when we don't know as much about Howard Hamlin, uh-huh, and we're presenting Howard as a villain, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Like he's a petty dickhead. And later he will do things to Kim that he wants to do to Jimmy by proxy.
Yes.
You know, like their actual relationship. Here early on, he has no real reason to do this.
No.
You know, she lost a client, but surely there are extenuating circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, like she can't work miracles.
Right.
Here.
Even she recognizes that this is the Kettleman's choice.
Yeah.
And Howard doesn't.
Yeah. It's part of this episode feeling a little bit weird to me with how the characters act. Not in the moment when you're watching it, when you like the first time through the series, you think the characters are, it just kind of shows the characters being inconsistently smart.
Yes.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Him blaming Kim makes a lot more sense to me when he's trying to get at somebody else, when he's sublimating.
Yes.
Yeah. This to him, this is just a case,
mm-hmm,
you know, at this point. So we go to Jimmy. He's doing bingo at mm-hmm a retirement home.
He's got his branded him yeah, just keeping on to having to come up with like things that start with B.
Yeah. It's pretty bleak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got his branded bingo cards. This is all advertising here. We get to Irene Landry wins, and what does she get? Notebook. And he's like, kitty cat notebook.
Yeah.
You know,
we've not met Mrs. Landry yet. She is, I love her so much.
She's cute.
Yeah. You know, she's like, hey, you got a kitty cat notebook. Do you like kitty cats? She talks about her two cats, Oscar and Felix. Felix will clean himself. Oscar won't. It's weird.
Come to think of it. Have you heard such a thing?
A mismatch pair is what they call them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jimmy gets a call. At this point, he has to take it. And it's the Kettlebins. Mm-hmm. Meets them at a diner. And they say, listen, we'd like to hire you again.
Yeah.
You know, he's surprised by this. You know, you told me you didn't want to hire me. And she's like, no, we changed our mind, but we have some conditions.
Yeah.
The condition is Craig gets no jail time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it. At some point here, the waitress comes up offering more coffee, and Betsy sends her away. But Craig is like holding his cup out.
And she
with her hand, like lowers the cup back to the table. There's no reason to do that, Betsy.
She keeps him in a fucking dog cage.
Yeah.
Like it is one of those relationships. Like he lives in a kennel. It's Michael Scott at the foot of the bed with the
little
tiny bed he curls up on so she can stretch out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jimmy's like, hey, you seem pretty adamant the last time we talked. What made you change your mind? And they just make up a line. You know, they don't talk about the bad deal. They just say, oh, we admire your passion, right?
Yeah. Jimmy tries to turn him down. You know, listen, I've changed my specialty. I'm doing elder law now. And they say, well, you promised me a not guilty verdict. He rightly says, I didn't promise you that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, you know, plays her drum card. Like, we've already paid you a retainer.
Yeah.
You know, if this had just been a bribe, there'd been nothing to it. But we're all pretending. Mm-hmm. This is a retainer. You are a lawyer.
Yeah. It's a retainer. This is blackmail, right? Yeah. You know, he is implicated in obstructing this, is what she's laying out. And Jimmy excuses himself. He goes to the bathroom, calls Kim. One piece of trivia here. One of the guys in the bathroom is one of the faces on the wanted posters that we, you know, went by. Every trivia source highlights that.
Yeah. Citizen's arrest happens, though.
Nope. Ridiculous. Jimmy was there. He could have known. But he calls Kim and says, "Hey, I found something that belongs to you." Again, picture the 25th hour starring Ned and Maude Flanders.
Very cute. And Kim says, "Listen, you know, you need to convince them to come back.
Yeah.
You know, make them understand it's better for them to come back. Like, it is in their best interest." Mm-hmm. We cut over. The Kettlemans are doing a little bit of business. I think this is probably improv'd. You know, like, elder law, what is that? You know, maybe for Craig, older, is that like, are the laws older? Or,
you know. maybe he would take us if we were older or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy comes back and says, "Listen, I can't, you know, my caseload is full. Yeah. You should take this deal." You know, they say that we don't want a deal. We want exoneration. There's no money to make a deal. And I love, this is one of my favorite parts. Whenever Jimmy has to confront them with, like, "Can we fucking get real for a second?"
Yeah.
You know, like, we stop pretending. Yeah. We had a really real game of tug of war over this money that doesn't exist. You know, like, can we all just stop pretending for a second?
Yeah.
And Betsy is, you know, this cognitive dissonance takes a moment and goes, "Well, if there was any money, there'd have to be a full accounting, every penny of it. You know, we'd have to be present." And Craig goes, "All of it, including the 30,000. You know, basically the implication.
Yeah.
You know, here.
Yeah. So it is blackmail. Yeah. And so he's got to take the case back. He's kind of in a bind here. Howard marches Jimmy to Kim's office, which is empty except for the Kettleman files, because he sent Kim to the cornfield over to the East Wing.
Yeah. So it's just like a less desirable place. If you worked in an office, this happens sometimes, the annex or some shit like that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Nothing's going on there.
Yeah. Further away from, like, where the important people are.
Yes. Yeah. And Howard's like, "Oh, I wasn't aware people called it that." Mm-hmm. You know? And Jimmy says, "You know, this isn't Kim's fault. You may notice I'm not exactly happy to be taking these fucking nutball clients."
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and Howard ignores this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Jimmy says, "I'm going to need some help here. There are tons of boxes." And Howard says, "Yeah, you sure are." And just leaves. Howard being a real dick.
Mm-hmm. So Jimmy wheels a hand truck down to the garage. Kim is there smoking, just like in the pilot. I love whenever they go back to that shot. It's like iconic to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and they go load stuff up. And Kim says, like, "Yeah, no, this is bad. My 2-year plan just became a 10-year plan. And that's the best case scenario." Yeah. And she kind of starts lashing out, but, like, holds herself back. She's like, "Hey, this isn't your fault."
Yeah. These people, and it is, you know, a little bit his fault because he took that bribe, but also these people are fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and she says, "You know, you're going to be lucky if you get anything close to the deal I got."
Yeah.
You know, they, yeah. Chuck wrote, checks to himself. Craig's wrote Chuck's. Uh-huh. Craig's wrote checks to himself.
Yeah.
For this, for false expenses.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're not supposed to say our clients are guilty, but hey, they're not my clients anymore. They are fucking guilty.
God, you know, fucking checks. Just the complete cluelessness.
Yep. We're, you know, nice little echo of Skylar and Ted's plot a little bit. This is a kind of a version, a little bit of what Ted did. Mm-hmm. And Kim says, you know, there's no way to spare them except for returning the money.
Right.
So off screen, Jimmy has, you know, plots his thing. He's in his office. He's pouring over these books, learning about embezzlement. It looks like it's just a dictionary.
It does.
It's very funny. It goes from elder law to embezzlement.
Elder law, electricity, embezzlement.
Yeah, very funny. Yeah. And he looks up at the ceiling. This is where he hid the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's just like, you know, do I need to, you know, I have to do the right thing. I have to give up the money for this. There's a plan, but it involves this.
Yes. And so we get, at, you know, we talk about how great heists are. I am also a fan of the reverse heist.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good scheme. You know, and I like watching Mike do an operation.
Yeah. And also this music rules, electric organ and that beat. It is distinctive. Go ahead.
Very electric piano. Very specifically.
This is enough of an earworm for people that, like, if you just do a search, what's that Better Call Saul song? It's like, oh yeah, this is Tuned Down by Chris Joss. I don't know. I shazam it every time it plays.
Mike is outside the Kettleman house. He sprays a stack of money with some crime spray and then puts it on a remote control truck.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you have this. He's watching the Kettleman do charades in the living room. Hell. He grabs an apple off a tree, listening to the baseball game, and he just eats five apples.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that too. Just eating, like, it's Breath of the Wild coded.
Uh-huh.
It's real weird.
He's fighting Ganon, Gary.
Yeah, as long as I can pause and eat one of these apples, he can live forever.
Uh-huh.
He's taking
poison damage.
Five fresh apples. While listening to a baseball game.
Yeah.
This is talk about raw dog in a flight. Like,
yeah.
Five apples plus listening to a baseball game is way harder.
Where is he shitting, Gary?
Yeah. He doesn't anymore because he's old.
Like, I guess,
it's a celebration when an old person shits. There's a Kids in the Hall sketch about it. Like, it's a mitzvah. Craig takes out the trash. He sees the money on the car. Mm-hmm. And he does what they assumed he would do, which is blame the kids. They rush inside. Yes. They call the kids down, yell at them for no reason. Mm-hmm. They think it's because the kids took the money. And they take the money upstairs. And this is what Mike wanted. He breaks into the house and uses his blacklight tracer to trace the residue to figure out where they hid the money.
Yes. And the fingerprints lead him up to the upstairs bathroom sink vanity. And it's hidden under a false cabinet bottom. That is a really great way to get your money ruined.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, just silverfish.
Damp.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, it also shows up in all the trivia things that that's similar to where Jesse hid his money.
No, different thing. It was a kitchen sink and it was up under a board.
And also just like in a cabinet is not that, there aren't that many places to hide money.
And we see all of them in El Camino.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. Like it's very silly that this is like, there are parallels that happen, but this isn't one of them.
Yeah.
Mike gives Jimmy the money. Mm-hmm. Jimmy throws his retainer back into it.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike doesn't get this. You know, what the hell are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. Jimmy with air quotes says the right thing.
Yeah. And Mike cinches up the bag of money and says, I assume we're square now, you know, from earlier in the episode. And, you know, Jimmy sends him away, letting out this big sigh. I'm going to take us off topic here just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I started watching The Righteous Gemstones. Okay. Felt in the mood for a new show and that's finished up recently. Mm-hmm. The first season, the villain is Candy from El Camino. Notional villain. It's a show full of villains, but like he's the antagonist in it. He's trying to extort them. Yeah. And the guy who plays the toilet inventor in this has a role. Like he's in the family. He's married to the daughter, Gemstone.
Oh, huh.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Weird. Just two weird little lineups here, like in a row. I was like, hey, I know these people.
Yeah, small world.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least people, you know, have to be getting work and it's like a lot of times they're on weeds or some shit.
Yeah, no, it's the weeds nexus.
Yeah. You're just like, nobody's seen that show. It's a non Kevin Nealon from Weeds, you know? Yeah. But no, it turns out they're on the Gemstones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always been kind of softly curious about that show, but skeptical the premise would last multiple seasons.
It's like good. I'm only at the end of the first season. Okay. I'm enjoying it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I buy it for sure. Yeah. Like that it's good. It's just, I was always like, this is a fun idea for a show, but it kept going, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I'll report back. I plan to, you know, hold out on it as long as I can. But yeah, I'm having a good time so far toward the end of the first season.
Yeah. Walton Goggins is a treasure.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Baby Billy.
Yeah. Uncle Baby Billy. Jimmy goes over to the Kettleman place. And says, listen, you know, we're going to talk about some details in the case. And they're delighted he's come back.
Yeah.
You know, he brings up the deal and, you know, Betsy says, I always said no deal. And he goes, well, circumstances have changed.
Yeah. The way she has just an instantaneous, like, full body rejection of the word deal. Yeah. You know, he suggests like, hey, you should probably go check on the money that you didn't take. And then he says, yeah, no, just go check on it. Just go up to the upstairs bathroom. And Betsy, you know, the game is up, right? The bag has been threatened. And she rushes up to it, saying, you know, screaming like, what did you do with it? She's like, just has to be shitty about it. Just like, and by it, you mean?
Yeah.
Because suddenly it's real because it's gone.
Yeah. She rushes up. Craig follows her slowly. This is shot really languidly. Uh-huh. Like we're just showing Jimmy from the side sitting on the fireplace while they rush up in the background. Betsy comes down, you know, calls him a thief. Like, I'm going to call the police. I'm going to have you arrested. And she says, let me think, you know, think about that for a moment. You know, I know on the best of days, you in reality are, you know, but you can't do that. Criminals have no recourse. You two are criminals big time. You don't get to do this.
Yeah.
Here.
She fires him.
Yep. That's her move.
Like, no, I quit. You're going to go back to Kim and you're going to beg for that deal back.
Yeah. And she says, I'm going to tell everyone about you taking the money, you know? And he goes, well, you know, you could do that. I'd be in a lot of trouble. However, though, like the bribe, we're back to calling it a bribe. You're the one who did that for me, which means right now only Craig's on the hook. But if I tell everyone about that, you're going to be in collusion. That's going to implicate you as well.
Yes.
You know, and like you could do it. But I'm going to make sure everyone knows that.
Yes. And, you know, look on the bright side. They can maybe work out some kind of inter-prison visitation arrangement, you know? Yeah. Like, and hey, think about it. By the end of the first month, you're going to be running your own gang.
Yeah. And Craig, you know, comes to Jesus, basically. Grabs Betsy's shoulder and says, we have to. Yeah. She keeps saying, no, no. And he goes, listen, the kids. You know, we can't have our kids be, you know, raised without parents. We can't both go away.
Yeah. If they both go away, that 16-month deal, gone. You know, at least 30 years, you know, 30 years for him, you know, who knows how much for, you know, for Betsy, not just for hiding the crime, but for, you know, bribing, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And like, they could take Jimmy down with them, but they ever want to go down. You know, he's basically holding a stick of dynamite. You know, like he's MacReady doing that. You know, it's over. And Betsy breaks down. You know, Jimmy can't even look at her. I think that, you know, you're maybe supposed to feel a little bit bad for Betsy here. I don't.
No. Yeah.
You know?
No. Yeah. I think that and it's hard to read Jimmy's, you know, kind of feeling here. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he likes making people break down and cry. He didn't like really like stick it to them, you know, maliciously. He is doing what is best for them. It's just a bitter pill to swallow, and he's familiar with that.
This is pretty close to win-win-win.
Yeah.
You know, considering everything.
Yeah.
You know. So he drives him back. He goes back to HHM. Jimmy shows Kim to his car, his Suzuki Esteem. The Kettlemans are waiting.
Yeah.
She mouths a thank you. He goes back to the office he was hoping to rent, closes the door on the office, and then freaks out.
Yeah. Yeah. Kicks at the door, you know, just kind of like collapses against the window because he hurt his foot, hurt his leg, kicking a door, and gets a call, you know.
Yes.
Just kind of looks at it for a second, then answers it, and has to pretend to be a secretary. This is going to have to continue.
Yeah. It's a lot of movement to get us back where we started.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think this episode is kind of weak. The stuff with the Kettlemans is all great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a real come down from the last episode to me. Like, one of the things about the first season of Better Call Saul, like, as I mentioned, I like the show, obviously. I love this show.
Yeah, yeah.
The first season being slow and having weird pacing and stuff. When we get to the end of the season, picking a worst episode is going to be hard.
Yeah.
Harder than it is for Breaking Bad, I think, because there's a lot of episodes where just not enough happens.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's beautifully shot. There's great stuff even in the worst of these episodes, there's great stuff. Like, there's great stuff in Nacho.
Yeah.
You know, that episode as well. But, like, there's just a bunch of episodes where not enough happens.
Yeah.
And I'm re-feeling that impatience I felt when I first watched it, of just, like, boy, we're back where we started.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, you know, there's minor movement. Like, now Howard doesn't like Kim.
Right.
Now Jimmy has had a taste of the good life a little bit. Now he knows a little bit more about Mike and crime. You know, it's so incremental.
I think it feels especially weird because, like, this moment, the giving up of the money, You know, when him and Mike are standing over and he says, oh, I'm, you know, doing the right thing. This is setting up the very end of the season where Jimmy says, you know, like, you just, well, why didn't we take the money? You know, saying to Mike, you know, and I know why I didn't, and I'm never going to do it again. That is them, like, I think setting up the sacrifice that he made as the basis for a transformation into Saul Goodman that between seasons, they decided they didn't want to do so fast.
It reminds me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We end the season with like, okay, this was all preamble, but it's preamble to the event. Mm-hmm. And then we start the season without the event.
Yeah.
And we don't get the event for a while. The closest point of comparison, and like, you know, she should die in a fire, but like the Harry Potter lady, one of those books ends with like, we're taking it to the streets. And then the next episode starts with them not taking it to the streets. And it drove me fucking nuts. Like, oh, finally, we're going to take the fight to him. It's time to, and I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. Like,
yeah, all right.
This is going to be a different kind of book. And then the next book, it's not. They just don't do it.
School year starts again. Yeah.
Yeah. School year just starts again. And it's like, get fucked. Like, mm-hmm. you don't make a promise like that. You know, it's very unsatisfying for characters that decide not to take action off screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And it's like, again, season two, tons of cool stuff happens in mm-hmm. season two. It's slow though. It happens in a way that has some awkward leftovers from previous drafts, I think.
Yeah, yeah. At least season two, we start getting the brother conflict.
Yeah.
You know? And we get more Kim and slightly more Nacho. We don't get like the fully loaded Nacho until season three, thereabouts. It takes a while for them to figure out how to use Michael Mando. But at the very least, like, it starts working into a season long plot kind of deal, which in season one you just don't have.
It's interesting how much this show has them figuring it out as they go.
Yeah, you which know, they did in Breaking Bad too. It just it feels like they start over again as opposed to picking up as if this is season six of us knowing how to run this thing.
I would say also that Breaking Bad coalesces a lot faster though.
Yeah,
like a couple episodes in the season two were already. We're Breaking Bad. Like it's
yeah.
it recognizably itself, I think. Mm-hmm. This show takes a little bit longer to get there. It's still, you know, it's still good. Like no mm-hmm. problems with it. Just, and it's also something that if you're just sitting here binging it, you won't feel this at all.
Absolutely not. You know,
it's talking about it one episode at a time and watching it one episode at a time for the show is what's reminding me of it. Mm-hmm. If you watched this, you know, after it already come out, you just hit the next episode and not feel anything. Because you get back to cool incident. You wouldn't be thinking about just like, you know, long kind of languid scenes that are in this that don't really advance things. Like he's doing bingo. Mm-hmm. The episode's called Bingo. Like they solve the problem. They could say bingo, you know, at that point. Like there's a little bit of hidden meaning there, but it's real languid.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. In a way that is, it's hard for me to square how much I ultimately like it.
You're just an incident cuck.
Come on. A little bit of an incident cuck. And incident and character advancement.
Right. Like
the character advancement, this is very slight. It's not that it's non-existent. You know, I don't mm-hmm. need to beat me over the head with it, but it's just very slight.
Yeah. And they'll start figuring it out. They'll start figuring out what they have.
Yeah. Agreed. Like, and the Chuck Jimmy stuff is incredible.
Yeah.
Like focusing on that is never boring. Like that is always good shit.
Mm-hmm.
So what can people do?
If people like the show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us some money to get a whole bunch of bonus content. If you want a taste of that, there is, if you go over to the collections tab, like there's like a showcase of all the shit we've given away for free. All you have to do is sign up, become a free member, grab that shit.
Yeah. Get a taste.
Mm-hmm.
Slurp the juice.
Yeah. We're giving it to you. We squoze it out.
We squoze it. You use it. It's warm. You can also leave us ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, anywhere podcasts are found. You can subscribe. That helps our numbers. And you can tell friends and other people about the show. Yeah. That helps us. And about our other shows.
Yeah. And you can also join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Yeah, big thanks to Gwen. And that is about it.
Think so.
Yeah, until next time, get off of Cloud Cuckoo Land. Come on.